the ears of the hearer undefiled. And now this morning you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, you would be exalted, and today would receive the honor and the glory. So we give this place and this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for taking the time, and I want to extend a welcome to those of you that are visiting with us this morning. Trust that you'll be able to connect with the Heavenly Father here this morning. That is our purpose this morning. Our purpose is to come together to honor our Heavenly Father. We have that opportunity through the shed blood of Jesus, and we have that made real within us through the Holy Spirit. And so I've taken a number of Sundays, I've talked about the Holy Spirit, and I intend to again this morning. And I think this is a subject that we could spend a lot of time on. And I know that I will in no way be able to touch all of the subject of the Holy Spirit. But this morning, looking at the Holy Spirit in prayer, the Holy Spirit in prayer, the Holy Spirit and prayer, however you want to interpret that, is the Holy Spirit's involvement in prayer. And I recognize again this morning that when we come together, when we pray together, when we lift up our voices and we intercede on behalf of people and we talk to God about others or requests and that kind of thing, that's called prayer. It's us talking to God and God communicating with us. So that's the essence of what prayer is. But there is a power in prayer that I believe that many times we fail to connect with. There is a power in prayer, just like there is a power in being able to live a righteous life and that kind of thing in the Holy Spirit. So also, God has called us to pray in the Spirit. And so we'll take some time to look at that. But I want just to share a story with you to start the sermon this morning. When I was doing installations at Byler Hydraulics, where I went out and would install hydraulic systems, I recall this one hydraulic system that I did where I spent probably a month or more, maybe 2 months, where it was a more complicated system, a lot of piping, a lot of valving, motors and cylinders and all the hydraulic components. And the day came where the system was in place and it was time to fire up that system and see the motors work, the cylinders operate, and that kind of thing. And this particular power unit was powered by a diesel engine. So the diesel engine, I fired up the diesel engine, and then they had a clutch that you would put in drive, and it would spin the pump, the hydraulic pump. And so I did all that. I had everything in place, and I didn't rev the engine too high because, you know, I start a little slow and put the clutch in and went to check one of the motors to see if the oil was coming through and it was running properly and that kind of thing. And I had nothing. There was nothing there. There was no power there. And here I discovered that between the reservoir where the hydraulic oil flows into the pump, there was a valve in between there. And I told everybody for many years, it's risky to put a valve in there in the first place. If you do put a valve in, take the handle off so that it doesn't accidentally get closed. Well, the valve was closed. I damaged a $3,000 pump just in a short time because there was no fluid in the pump and it was not doing what it was supposed to do. And I thought about this as it relates to prayer. All the system is in place. The system is in place, the power is available, but when we're not connected, then it's worthless, it is pointless. It's our prayers, they do not have the power that I believe God wants them to have when we connect with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit that He has placed within us. And you say, how is that possible, Luke? How is it possible that we can have the system in place, but we don't connect with the power? Well, I think all of us can recognize there are times that we we sit down and we do our thing. We have this here get her done mentality that we approach prayer with, and we never really connect with the Holy Spirit in our prayer when we're praying. You ask, why am I talking again about the Holy Spirit this morning? I feel an urgency. I feel an urgency in the time that we're living in that we are connected to the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Now, that's in my time. Now, I know that all throughout Christianity, all through the time of living as Christians, there was that need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. But there feels like an urgency. There are so many options that the world gives. There are many options to reach out to fill that their inner need, like drugs and people and books and all kinds of things that we seek to fill that need within. And really, the Holy Spirit wants to do that. The Spirit of God, God's Spirit within us, wants to fill that need. And when we yield ourselves, when we come to the Father in humility, not having it all figured out, then I believe that we can experience what God wants for us. If there's an area that probably most of us fall short, it's probably this area, the area of prayer, praying publicly, praying privately. I think it's probably an area that all of us could say, I wish I would do better. And this is a place where I believe that we need to, again, in humility, invite the Holy Spirit to enter into. And we're distracted by many things, and we find ourselves praying in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Setting that time to get her done. You all heard the saying, God's neat, let's eat, kind of thing. You know, those kind of prayers, the kind of prayers that we offer up when we get in this here get-her-done mode. We have this list. We have so-and-so we want to pray for, so-and-so, and this and that, and the other thing, and now I'm done and I can be off about my day. I believe that prayer is more than that. I believe that prayer is more involved throughout your day than you give credit to. And I believe that we should be connected and very keenly aware of the Holy Spirit throughout the day, that He will lead you to talk to God about something, to intercede on behalf of something. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and this is not where we're going to spend our time, but I'm going to share a few verses, and then we're going to get to Ephesians 3:14 through 21. But just to start here, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then we go back to Jude verse 20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So those are two verses that we have that I believe that are directly a command or an instruction for us to pray in the Holy Spirit. The prayer power is unlimited when we connect with the Holy Spirit. The power of prayer is unlimited when we connect with the Holy Spirit. We have maybe failed to experience this power because we are not connected to the source. Same as my pump was not connected to the fluid that made the that was able that transferred the power throughout the system. So it is with us. We get caught up in many things and find ourselves not praying in the Spirit, and we don't experience the power of being able to pray in the Spirit. We need to recognize that the presence of the Holy Spirit is in our prayers. Prayer is not about you fixing situations, but it is about bringing the Holy Spirit into your and another person's experience. Prayer is not about you fixing situations, but it is about bringing the Holy Spirit into your and another's person's experience. We think God is only working when we see results. We think, well, our prayer wasn't answered. Well, do you really know that? From what we see, it may not have been answered. So we have to have this faith, this confidence that we enter into prayer, that when we pray, that God will do what he says he will do. Here's a quote from Chuck Swindoll. It says, what he takes or what he gives are both valuable. What God takes or what he gives are both valuable. So that's how it is in prayer. Here's another quote from a source called God Met Me There. And when I talk about praying in the Spirit and being connected to the Spirit in prayer, I believe one of the things that we will find many times is there are these hindrances. There are these things that keep us from connecting to the Spirit. And one of those, I believe in our culture, is busyness. And let me quote this. Busy isn't always productive. Busy isn't always faithful. Busy isn't always God's will. We often assume that as long as we're doing good things, we're safe. Listen to what Corrie Ten Boom said. If the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. And her quote, and back to this other quote, busy enough to neglect prayer, busy enough to skip God's word, busy enough to crowd out quiet time with Christ, busy enough to mistake activity for intimacy. Satan doesn't always attack with obvious sin. Sometimes he simply fills our lives with so much noise that we no longer hear the shepherd's voice. He fills our lives with so much noise that we no longer hear the shepherd's voice. The greatest threat to your walk with God may not be rebellion. It may be distraction. Slow down. Sit at his feet. The work can wait. Your soul can't. Slow down. Sit at his feet. The work can wait. Your soul can't. End of quote. If we are going to pray in the Spirit, if we are going to be true to the Word, if we are going to indeed recognize this Holy Spirit's involvement in our prayer, then first of all, we need to get rid of the junk. Andrew talked to us last Sunday about clearing the junk out of the pipe so that it can flow freely. We need to get rid of the junk. It's easy for us to see the junk in other people's lives. Not as easy for us to see the junk in our own lives. We can see the junk in others' lives and we can talk about it, but it's more difficult to see the junk that is in our own lives. John Piper was asked the question, can you teach me, this is somebody that wrote to John Piper a question for him, can you teach me to pray in the Spirit? Paul and Jude call us to this, so what does that look like? Can you distinguish what it looks like to pray in the Spirit from what it would mean to pray out of the Spirit? That was the question that was given to John Piper, and I wish I'd have time to share what his response was to that, but we don't this morning. So looking at understanding ourselves, let's start here by reminding ourselves that not the only things that Christians are called upon to do in the Spirit or by the Spirit, which, by the way, comes from the Greek phrase pneumatic, which is where pneumatic is where we get our word for air or wind or breath or spirit. It can be interpreted. So sometimes it is interpreted in the Spirit or by the Spirit. Let's not get hung up on the detail of in the Spirit or by the Spirit. They are used the same throughout the New Testament and in many different ways. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. So there we have that we are to what? Walk in the Spirit by the power, by the Spirit. Romans 8:13, put to death the deeds of the body in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3, confess Jesus as Lord in the spirit. Philippians 3:3, worship in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:16, give thanks in the spirit. Galatians 6:1, restore a wayward brother in the spirit. So there are many things that we are called to do throughout the New Testament that are in the Spirit. And so the command to pray in the Spirit in Jude 20 and Ephesians 18 is again the command to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means that our prayers are moved and guided by the Holy Spirit. Our prayers are moved and guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not just sitting there rattling off a row of what you think you need to in a prayer time. It is really, truly stopping, slowing down, recognizing that you are in the presence of the Father, and it is by His Spirit that when you pray, it leads you, the Spirit of God will lead you to pray, and then there will be power in the prayer that you give. I want to be a little careful how I say this, because there are people who believe that the term praying in the Spirit is actually praying in tongues. I do not believe that that is what Paul was saying when he gave the command to pray in the Spirit. And listen to why I believe that. If you look at that verse in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So if that were true, if it were that praying in tongues is what he was referring to, then that would mean that we would always pray in tongues. That's what he's asking us to do. I do not believe that to be the truth about this scripture. So I just wanted to air that, and just to clear that I know that some of you, and I have experienced that, where the term praying in the Spirit is connected to praying in tongues. So then what is this other stuff that is done in the Spirit? Anyway, my simple suggestion is this, that praying in the Spirit is that the Spirit moves, guides, and directs our prayer if we in humility invite Him into our prayer life. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. See, I believe, again, going back to Romans 8:26, Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we not know what to pray for or as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray connected to the Holy Spirit, even our groanings, even our weakest attempt to pray is interpreted by the Holy Spirit to the Father. So we have these here two advocates that are before the Father as we pray. We have the Son. Jesus says that He is our advocate as He stands before the Father. He intercedes on our behalf. And we have the Holy Spirit who's interpreting what we can't even put into words as He comes before the Father, as He comes before the Son. And that's all brought to the Father and put in such a way when we in our weakness don't know how to put it in words, the Spirit will put it in words for you. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. Because I believe one of the things that we all struggle with at times is just knowing how to pray. There are situations come up. There are things that we're at a loss for words. And I believe that when you invite the Holy Spirit into that loss of words, that He will take those words and groanings to the Father. And I believe that not only does the Spirit do that for us when we're at a loss for words, but He also does that just in a normal prayer time, in a normal prayer life. He knows your heart. The Spirit knows your heart, knows what you're trying to say, knows the condition of your heart, knows where you're at, and will bring those prayers to the Father. Because I believe we have an example in James 4:3. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend on your own passions. So there is a way that we can pray that we ask wrongly, because it is to be spent on our own pleasures. So there is a way that you can pray wrongly. So I believe it's again with the guidance of the Holy Spirit that He shapes our prayers, He shapes our hearts, He shapes our thoughts and our minds to be able to pray in the Spirit. And our prayers are moved and guided by the Spirit, and they lead and guide us as we pray. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And while you're turning there, just a few thoughts that I want to share that I jotted down here. Many times I think there's a fault in understanding in how we pray that causes us to come to prayer without actually connecting with God, what God wants. One of the things that will never happen, prayer cannot contradict God's word, okay? The word and prayer go hand in hand. The word and prayer go hand in hand. If they don't, if what you're experiencing, if your feeling or your prayer is not in line with the word of God, then don't expect any answers. In other words, when in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, God told Elijah, you remember the story where Elijah prayed and there was no rain for 3 years, and then God told Elijah that he would send rain upon the earth. And then Elijah heard the sound of rain, and then he went and prayed for the rain to return. See, there was a clear direction that was given to Elijah to follow in his prayer, and he did that. And there are clear directions in God's word that he gives us when we pray that we can expect to see results. Now, in James chapter 5, we have there, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint with oil and they pray over him. And a prayer of faith will save the sick. Again, I believe that there needs to be the connection with the Spirit, that when we enter into that type of prayer, that we recognize that this is the Spirit leading in that prayer. Because it's not always. And one of the things that has happened in the past is people have connected with prayer, have felt the need to drum up some kind of, I don't know what, to drum it up so that if your prayer is lacking, get excited, sing a song or whatever, just drum the prayer life up. I believe that God is able to speak into the simplest of terms of prayer. Do not let anyone tell you that your prayer life is not heard by God when it is connected with the Spirit, and He will do what He wants to do with it. Consider how we come into the presence of God, recognizing that if we come with our hearts that are not clean, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God will not hear us. Bragging about how much we pray and all that kind of thing, I believe that it squashes the Spirit. Having a clear understanding of our atonement, the blood that was shed for us, I believe it is important that when we enter into prayer, that we understand that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Nothing that I have done, nothing that I can do, but when I enter into prayer, it is by the blood of Jesus that I can stand before the Father. No other way. No other way. Do you pray to God as your Father? Do you feel that connection with Him, to the family of God? Let's look at Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. I'll read this and make a few comments. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches." Think about this is a prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church and for the Ephesian people, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I want us to start out with going back, and he says, for this reason. What is the reason? It's starting in verse 11. It says, according to the eternal promise, purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And one of the things that I want to point out here right off the bat is that Paul is writing this while he is in prison, while he is in chains, while his life is a mess, so to speak. And so I believe that when we enter, one of the things that it does when we connect with prayer, when we connect with the Holy Spirit is that it turns our focus outward. It turns our focus away from ourselves. When we pray for others, it leads us into the presence of God, but it also invites the Holy Spirit to come into the presence of the persons that we're praying for and to be there and be part of them, part of their experience. So he says here, he starts out in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees. And again, I believe that as we pray in the Spirit, we need to recognize that it's not so much of a physical thing that Paul is saying here, is that he bows his knees spiritually. He bows his knees in a spiritual sense to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of the Father through Jesus Christ. And that's another thing I want to just take one quick moment, and I know I may have said this here before, but again, I think this calls out to be recognized here in verse 14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to who? Who does he bow to? He bows to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bows to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in Matthew 6 where the Lord's Prayer is, when the disciples ask the Lord, teach us how to pray. Then he started the Lord's Prayer. He starts with this: Our Father who art in heaven. So I personally, I have a little bit of a beef, and I'm not going to fault anybody, but I believe that when we pray to the Father. Jesus instructed us to do that. So if we are going to pray in the Spirit, we need to recognize that our prayers are to the Father through the Son. It's through Him that we are able to speak to the Father. But I believe that our prayers should be addressed to the Father. And he's writing from prison, and he doesn't dwell on his own problem. He reaches out to the Ephesian church. Instead, his heart is turned towards their needs, their growth, their strength, their experience of God's love. This is because Paul understands that something essential about prayer. And when we pray for others, we open ourselves to the quiet, steady work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you fathers here this morning, I want to ask you parents here this morning, Are you praying for your family? Are you praying for your children? Fathers, are you praying for your wives? Are you praying? Are you in the Spirit praying on behalf of your family, inviting the Holy Spirit into their experience as Paul does? It says he got on his knees spiritually before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Are you fathers praying for your children in the Spirit, praying that they be strengthened, inviting the Spirit to strengthen them with might through his Spirit in the inner man? Are you praying that Christ may dwell in their hearts, in your children's hearts, in your wife's heart, One. That Christ may dwell in your hearts with faith, being rooted and grounded. Are you praying that your children and your family is rooted and grounded in faith? Are you praying for your family? Or do you find yourself getting up in the morning and you're so busy? When's the last time, may I ask, when's the last time that you took the time to seriously sit before the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit, inviting the Spirit of God into your children's life? Inviting the Spirit of God into your wife's life. When's the last time you have done that? Two mothers this morning. He goes on, and not just, I'm saying, including the mothers in this as well. That they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ. When is the last time that you have prayed that way? See, this is, Paul's giving us an example of praying in the Spirit. When's the last time that you lifted up your children, your family, your husband, your wife, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. We need each other. We need each other's prayers. When's the last time you prayed for the church, that the church would experience these things? That we'd be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. When's the last time you have prayed for our community, that this community would experience these kinds of things, that in the Spirit you sat before the Holy Spirit and just allowed the Spirit of God to lead you in prayer for these things around us? You see, one of the things that I think so many of us take for granted is that, you know, we connect with the things that are going on in our own lives. And I think many times we come and sit before the Father and we ask for blessings, we ask for health, we ask for wealth, we ask for many things. But I believe that God wants us, when we pray in the Spirit, to pray for those around us. One of the things we forget is that everyone around you is going through something. Everyone. Everyone around you is going through something. This week I was at Byler's on Thursday, and a gentleman walked in that I hadn't seen in a long time. Walked up to the counter there and he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well, not too bad, considering the circumstance." I told him a little bit about my journey with leukemia, and he sat on a stool, and his shoulders drooped. And he said, first of all, he asked about me, then I asked about him. I said, "How are you doing, Leroy?" And he said, he sat on the chair, and his shoulders drooped. He said, and he's in his mid-60s, not far from my age. He said, "In August of last year, I buried my wife." He said, "Since that, I've had 4 heart bypass valve surgeries, or 4 valve bypass surgery." And I could see the weight sitting on him. And all of a sudden, my problem was nothing. All of a sudden, my problem didn't mean a thing. I have my wife. My heart, as far as I know, is still good. Everyone needs someone to pray for them. I was able to speak life into Leroy, but the burden was incredible that I saw in him. God wants us, the mission of our church is not to fix, but to bring Christ into, to bring people to the one who can, to bring people to the one who can fix it. I'm amused a little bit. Jamie is working out. We have a folder over in the office that folds the bulletin, you know, real quick and nice. Once in a while, it gets cantankerous and it doesn't work. And I have learned that you walk over and you give it a gentle slam, it'll work again. So Jamie calls me and I walk over. It's not because, Jamie just didn't know where to hit it. to give it a gentle slam. But she knew the one that did. She knew the one that did. And so she called me to give it a gentle slam to get it going again. Now, I'm not suggesting that we ask the Holy Spirit to give somebody a gentle slam, but God knows. God knows how to fix it. God's the one that can, when we pray, we bring God into the situation. We invite him into the situation. We don't have to fix it. I don't have to fix you. But I can invite the one who knows how to fix you. So don't forget to pray for the one that's hurting, for the one that's lonely, for the one that is in need, because this is what Paul did. He turned from himself and he prayed for them. And he said in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are not ready for ministry. We are not ready for the mission of the church here until we have connected with the Holy Spirit. And that will connect us with the Father. Without it, there is no power. There is no power between the source and the pump. Let's keep praying. Let's be a praying church. Let's be a praying people to the honor and glory of God. Our Heavenly Father, I invite you this morning into our situations. I know that in this setting here today, there are many. Father, I invite you to undergird each one with strength. I pray that Christ would dwell in each of our hearts through faith, and that we would comprehend, Lord, how big you are and what you can do, and that we would recognize you as our Father, our only source. Lord, that when we come on our knees before you, Father, that it would be in true humility, recognizing a need for you. God, I pray that the mission of the church would be such that the community would feel safe here. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit and by your power, that you would continue to shape us and mold us into the people that you want us to be. I thank you, Father, for the presence of your Spirit. You have promised that is here. Help us to tap into and to live it, to act it out, to be Christians. In Jesus' name.